allies to the Visionary Activist Show. And I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are in the waning days of 2017, time to lay this old year to rest while jauntifying ourselves with defiant pluck. So here's a portion of my winter solstice presentation from Friday, December 22nd in Washington, D.C., honoring the birth of liberating trickster within and without, with great ally Irish musicians Tina Eck and Keith Carr, known as Lilt. And off we go. Welcome. Thank you, Lil, to Tina Eck and Keith Carr. Yay. It said that the Irish are the Palestinians of Europe, and we go, yes, all people. So welcome to our solstice celebration, where we are animating the compassionate trickster within and without. Whoa, gathering strategy, spice, solace, and defiant joy. At least that's what the flyer said. So I do love Edward Snowden saying, when Katie Couric was going, shouldn't you be frightened? Shouldn't we be frightened? He's like, no, with very Saturn composure. We shouldn't be afraid. We should be ready. So I love one definition of maturity that a friend gave was to have access to all of one's resources. We go, all right, we're here to animate all of our resources. And there's an indigenous saying going, they didn't tell us about all of us, right? And so we want to compost into the cauldron tonight all sneaky forms of colonialism, you know, all non-animistic selves. We go, maybe we toss humanism, humans as the measure of all things, into the cauldron and ladle out the truth of animism. Everything's alive. So, right, here we are. It's Esoteric Washington Gathering, undercover agents, what a good thing. And we might want to just take a big sigh, like, wow, ooh. And, you know, trauma doctors, they say to study nature as we should for all things. And they say when a deer is lucky enough to escape from a mountain lion, it trembles all over to metabolize the dread, the fear, the adrenaline, and then it goes back to munching grass. So I say, let's begin. Let's get the cringing and the cowering and the whimpering and the whining and the conniption fits out of the way by going. That's good. Right. So that we can dive deep. We can dive deep because we're here for the medicine of fully informed compassion with sizzle. Gotta know everything. But tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Isaiah is my, you know, the kind of heartening, semi-jaunty prophet from the Old Testament who says, speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. You know, and may we all go forth with that capacity. A new wonderful ally, spirit brother Yahya Lababidi, wonderful Egyptian poet who is dedicated to aphorisms. And he says, where there are demons is where there is something worth protecting. And then he says, in the deep end, every stroke counts. and on like that. And of course, Dorothy Parker answers her phone by saying, what fresh hell is this? So there's that. So for reasons we will delineate, there is, however, an enhanced atmosphere of receptivity for sane reverence against all odds. So here we are at the solstice that humans have celebrated for 20,000 years at least. We have the carvings. I love Jeff Chester, who was the astronomer at the National Observatory. He said this thing, 5 billion years from now, our sun will begin to die. It will expand. And a woman said, did you say million or billion? And he said, billion. She was like, oh, thank God. So we say, how grand to be incarnationally coinciding with the likes of ourselves at this time of dire beauty. And at this quirky time of 7:33 p.m., why, you might say, well, I liked it. I liked lining up with it. What was rising due east due east. It was 6 Leo, whose image is the constellations of the night sky glow blazingly in the desert, the endless unfolding wonder of the universe. We go, oh, we could all use a little toast of that. And then Uranus, trickster. Uranus, the planets represent living qualities of intelligence that reside within us, they're endogenous, and connect us to the world. You know, and so right now, Uranus, trickster, nature's evolutionary ingenuity, raven, coyote, seeds that sprout after cataclysm, is straight up, you know, presiding, inaugurating our winter. And of course, our word inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner, who would walk out into nature and read nature's patterns by which nature would reveal the responsible leader, and then they would be inaugurated. We want to go back to that, because, you know, the Saturnalia, this powerful solstice time, you know, 20,000 years, but also really, you know, specific right now, you know, was always when a culture defined its ideal form of leadership. And I go, you know, wolves would never outsource their autonomy to a sociopathic dingbat who'd lost all kinship and didn't care if the pack survived or not. You know, only humans, only our rogue species. This is my first solstice in 20 years without the living form of Stella Coyote, my actual coyote companion. But she's left us a lot of coyote hair, and she's left us, we kind of crafted this together. It's Stella Coyote's creation myth. And she says, long before there were humans, there was Trickster, who sets the whole shebang going with a sizzle of lightning. And this ingenuity sizzles through all flora and fauna, and every now and then it's orthodoxed or trapped, you know, but it becomes an ingenious escape or escapade artist. And then it sizzles all the way in through time into each one of our hearts this night. You know, and again, we'll be honoring Trickster in so many ways. So, well, I do have Stella Coyote's hair. She left a lot of hair behind, and it's a kind of muti. I've mixed it with tobacco from Syria. And there are flyers in the back if you want to go to India in about a minute with me. January 12th, we like people who skid in late. But there will be a number of people joining us from Syria in India. And it's all the diasporas everywhere. I was just helping, in a way, gathering witchcraft force to help my former brother-in-law, the besieged president of Peru. But we made a wheel and deal with him, going, you know, okay, you're less corrupt than your opponents, that'll do. And what are you going to put on the table if Trickster gets you out of this trouble? And we had some very specific things. And if you don't, back into the cauldron you go. So we have muti. You know, those of you who've been hanging with me for a long time, and those who are new going, what the hell is this? Muti means, it's from the Sangomas of South Africa. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals, and we don't source it, we invite it. We invite it with dedicated acts and gathering like we're doing. So we say, oh, spirit of Stella Coyote and trickster and ingenuity that loves against all odds, you know, come into each one of our hearts that we may be its agent out there in the world. Open the path before each one of us here, you know, that we may contribute our gifts to the world in a way that is replenishing and the most serious and dedicated kind of fun possible. There we go. Molecular distribution. There we go. And then I also have from the Sangoma, something very specific. It's called umpepu. It's a kind of muti. And umpepu is, you know, it used to be just grown for Sangomas or medicine people, but now they're like, oh, the world's in such bad shape, use it with anybody. Good. But umpepu opens the avenues between the visible and the invisible, the living and the dead. And so as I do this, you can imagine doing this yourself. You open up ears, open up, ooh, hair. There we go. Right, a little inhale from the audience that I did not set my headdress on fire. That's really good. Right, that's why I rolled up my sleeves. So what has been going on for 20,000 years? Virtually all over the world, you know, O literal and symbolic light of sun, you know, come on in and illuminate this painting, this writing, this story at the back of the cave. It's a time when people gathered to animate the desirable story and invite in, you know, the power of the sun, the power of gathering to make it so. So we are here to animate our chosen guiding story of dynamic cooperation with everything. We like to say magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything, you know, and it's been wonderfully challenging. packaging will honor all the planets, vast and micro. Mercury's stationing, and we'll go direct as our part of our finale right there, so we can really send stuff out into the world. It's all perfectly timed in some way. Some genius is scheduling us. But Saturn, in the very last moments of Sagittarius until a day ago, and now it's in Capricorn, first time since 1988, on the solstice, time of deep dedication. It's been in Sagittarius for the last 3 years. Saturn really keeps the beat. So for the last 3 years, it says, you know, in the journey of our lives, but in the last 3 years, you know, consider all the things we've been studying and exploring and all those things. And then now it moves into Capricorn, which is, let's do this thing. This is structural, incarnational embodiment. It's time to do things and get ready and animate the desirable world so that when we pull the switch, it can waft into and supplant and eclipse, you know, the war on life and all those other things. So my favorite Christmas ornament that I just put up on the tree, it's just a little ceramic dish depicting the nativity in Bethlehem, and it's the three magi arriving and then going, it's a girl! So, wouldn't that be a different story? So we say, you know, cooperators, I will say, cooperators are standing by, you know, so we want to meet them in the course of our journey tonight. So part of it also, you know, the dance of everything equal. Everything goes into the cauldron now. All teachings, all everything. It doesn't do anything harm to go into the cauldron. With the criterion, you know, all teachings, does it guide people to their own autonomy? Autonomy is a sacrament. You know, is it equal Mars and Venus? You know, equal men and women? Is the trickster welcome? Can the truth be said in a jolly, liberating fashion? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. So part of that dynamic where we're at a kind of evolutionary moment is, you know, we have the power fist, right, which is very Mars, you know, from the 60s. We need that. That's arousing. But we don't want to stop there. Everything wants to be a journey. And so the power fist into the blessing palm, poof, may it go well for you. You know, and even as tricksters, we always leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. We don't count on it, but we leave room. And that's why to the Dementors of Doom we go, because we are friends of your soul, we are therefore friends of your indictment. Because it's not good for people to get away with tyranny. You know, this goes all the way back to the Anonymous, you know, and cultures symbolically embedded their science and myth and fairy tales, even detective novels. So the Anonymous is the Venus orbital cycle, and Venus is in the underworld now gathering mojo for Renaissance. But she likes, well, in her myth, it's very sophisticated, 3,500 years ago from the Sumerians under Iraq. When she gets back from the underworld, which Venus will return in February as the evening star, when she emerges as the evening star, she lounges around for a while, you know, and then it's very trippy. A lot of you have heard this before, but it says one day she's contemplating the wonders of her own vulva, going, it is so fabulous to be an autonomous, sexy woman. And at that moment, inspiration strikes her, and she goes, I know, I'm going to rescue human culture. And human culture has been kidnapped and stolen by Enki, the god of wisdom, who has become a tyrant. So here's the sophisticated, well, there's a lot, part of that. Anyone, anything unchallenged will become tyrannical, right? So it's good. That's why we want the atmosphere of, you know, playful to and fro, where truth is welcome as a supportive thing, not as a thing, you know. And that's also, you know, anger, into desire, going, all right, you're angry about this, then what do you desire, right? Critique, into vision, right? What could it be? Diagnosis as healing. So traditionally, really for 20,000 years, this is also the time when people would honor, you know, all who have died this year, who are not with us in an incarnational form. And certainly we want to honor Arnold Kramer, just a great beloved of many of us here, a great journeyer. And we think of everybody we know, really. And my great buddy, Bob Goss, you know, who left me a little scrap of paper before he died. He stayed at my house. And I found it later going, turn, what is that? And then somebody else said, oh, he wants you to watch the revolutionary thing, which I binge-watched. It's like, I don't approve. It's hyper-yang death frenzy, but I can't stop. There's some good lines in the revolutionary drama. And one is, it's a play, but it's one that we're writing right now. And that's how they describe the Revolutionary War. And, you know, Buddy, we think of all of our friends, you know, Stephanie Kurse and beloved Mayor Ed Lee of San Francisco, and, Tom Petty and Fats Domino and Jim Vance, and I have a list. I Googled who died, and it goes on. So what we will... Roger Ailes. Whoa. Okay, Hugh Hefner. Oh, good. May you grow up. May you grow up someday. There you go, you little dingbats. Jean Moreau. Dick Gregory was a buddy. You know, again, wonderfully interesting. June Foray, the voice of Rocky and Bullwinkle. This time for sure, says Bullwinkle to us encouragingly now. You know, and many great jazz musicians. But also, as we honor grief, the 65 journalists in the world who were killed, Iraq, Syria, Mexico. And just now, you know, when we think about the Dementors of Doom, you know, Gomaro Perez Aguilando, you know, was just now shot to death at his son's elementary school Christmas party. And we go, oh, oof, and innumerable other Mexican journalists who really put their lives on the line to cover corruption. And even Valdez, who said, you know, let them kill all of us if that is the death penalty for reporting this hell, no to silence. And then he was killed. And we think of all those beloved who have died, past, present, and future, you know, all extinguished by the hyper-yang death frenzy's kind of relentless war on life, hashtag war on life. Because the sneaky tax bill, the toxic tax bill, the Dementors did it. They stuck drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in there. Right, and for decades I've been hosting Sarah James, and who's a Gwich'in elder who lives up in the Arctic Circle. You know, the Gwich'in call the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge the place where all life begins. Right, and almost all it really is almost all birds from all continents, you know, go through there, and the caribou and everything. And there was these wonderful people who made a movie about the caribou, and they were in their tent going as the caribou were gathering to mate and give birth as well. And they're saying, we're in our tent for 3 days, we're peeing into cups because we don't want to disturb them, right? As opposed to oil, boom, and we go, so the guns, the mass shootings, the assault on life, it's all related, the deadly pollution in Delhi, the hurricanes. Hurricane is one of the two words we get from Mayan. Hurricane is the originating god of really kind of Pluto. It's like all into the cauldron. And the other word we get from Mayan is shark. But we think of the hurricanes, which, again, are huge spirals. And we know that nature creates spirals to bring conflicting forces into harmony. Right. But the enormity of the storms, which will surely be growing, is just a statement of how much, you know, conflict we are feeding nature. Whoa. And Houston and Puerto Rico. And then also we honor, you know, the great goodness. We throw things into the cauldron. We're going to ladle out great goodness. We throw judgment in and ladle out curiosity. But so many great beings, and Jose Andres in Puerto Rico, in Houston and Puerto Rico, and then and now in Los Angeles with the fires. But what a great model. There he was, you know, just on the Twitter feed, you know, such a great embodied Saturn. And I don't often guess people's signs, you know, but I, when I was looking at his Twitter, I go, I bet he's a Cancer. I bet he's a really good-hearted, big mama Cancer guy. He is. That's wonderful. But you get to see him going, and here we are making ham sandwiches for 20,000. It should be beautiful. And here we are making paella. You know, they serve 2 million meals, hot, beautiful meals. And we go, oh, it's fire. So Puerto Rico and the fires. I was out in Northern California in October, and I do know people who have lost everything. And in Southern California and California, British Columbia, Spain, Portugal, you know, all the loss and the grief. But what Stella Coyote taught me is when her best friend in the world, our great companion hybrid wolf, Captain Moondog Wolfie, when he died, she grieved, but she was not sentimental, right? And it's a textural difference. As we're exploring what's a con, which is a poison, and what's a liberating trick, which is the authentic good sacrament. You know, and we might say sentimentality is the con that covers up real grief. And so in her grief, however, as a kind of inspiration to us all, even when he was, you know, approaching the abyss, she was like, you're old, I love you more than anything, but I'm going to steal your food, because I'm here. And when he died, she was deep, but it increased her desire to live. I'm going to live. And I thought, oh, that's one kind of grief. And then also just, you know, people who are protecting the protectors. You know, and we do wonder, you know, in Northern California with so many friends evacuating, I'm like, what are you taking? You know, a lot of people had 10 minutes, you know, and said, my hard drive, my favorite camera, and a toothbrush. It's like, whoa! You know, it takes you know, me, many people to pack, going, should I take these shoes or not? Anyway, yeah, I mean, all of that. And then a special just shout-out to Berta Cáceres, who died the year before, Honduran indigenous leader, protector of beauty. But I loved her allies, indigenous women, gathered. And they said, Berta Cáceres, she did not die, she multiplied. So with my wonderful allies, Lilt, there's no more beautiful song that I know of for ladling beauty out of the grief cauldron.
Thank you.
part of why I love that song so much, and the way you both perform it and sing it so beautifully, is it's so deep, and then there's the jaunty penny whistle uplifting up out of the flood, up out of the ashes. It's that jauntiness that we've come, you know, because it is from deep grief, because grief, of course, is love. It's like, oh, poignancy is kinship. And it's from that the trickster emerges, again, defiant joy, liberating trickster, awaiting incarnational invitations such as in our hearts. So it's very powerful to have, you know, the sun and Saturn conjoined for the first time in 30 years, you know, on the solstice. It's as though the backstage gods are helping us out, going, if you dedicate, you know, whatever you dedicate to will strengthen each one of everybody's signal, so as we move into this year unfurling before us, we are more likely to connect with those things, those pieces of writing, those people, the funding, the whatever it is, serendipitous synchronicity, or the name of my new wonderful cat, Kismet, which means something positive intended by fate. And we go, right, those. So Uranus is stationing straight up overhead. Stationing meaning it looks like it's standing still from the Earth's perspective, you know, to us, you know, going, it's slowly going backwards, but stationing. And then on January 2nd, it goes forward, which is outward. So it says what we dedicate to now has everything to do with how we experience the beginning of this year, where our inner lives meet outer circumstance. And it's not like tiptoeing, like I had a bad thought. It's the general dedication, you know, that is so powerful now, you know, look, going, who brought what to this renaissance? And it is, you know, against all odds that trickster likes, so we go, now is perfect, it's really good. And we each, you know, carry a unique and necessary medicine. You know, we may not know what it is, but wonder is great. The sun, I'll say it and then translate it, the sun and Saturn right now are quintile to Neptune. Quintile is a 72-degree angle, what we get when we divide the circle by five. It's about irresistible eloquence, a kind of spicy, lively vitality. So it's Capricorn, this incarnationally manifest realm. And the earliest symbols for Capricorn is the Council of Elders, regardless of age, gender, and race assignment. The Council of Elders dedicated to the next seven generations. So this powerful, you know, incarnational mystery, you know, and also just, you know, we gather our wits here and, you know, out there in the world, and all the colored lights, our appreciation, I think, of them is we just think people, they're just trying to get high. Everybody out there is just trying to get high with the colored lights. It's like a DMT experience. And we do remember somebody, yes, Meredith thoughtfully gave me an Amanita mushroom pencil sharpener, which is here representing the Amanita world, because many of us, you know, I never tire of saying this, but, you know, Christmas as an Amanita mushroom festival, it really works. You know, in the north, the shaman dresses as the sacrament, red and white. They grow under fir trees. Reindeer love to eat them. The experiences of flying. People drink the reindeer piss because it filters out the more alkaloid, toxic alkaloids. And the experiences of flying. And they go to the North Pole to gather wisdom and bring wisdom down every hearth. So that's what's really going on, you know, out there as you drive around going, ee, 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 yeah, you're all getting high, wisdom for you, and you get wisdom, you get wisdom, and, you know, may everybody wake up, you know, and the solstice, it's like if we notice where the sun rose and set every day, you know, now is where it appears sol, sun, stis, to stand still. It's as far south in its rising as it will go, but it stays there for like 4 days, hence December 25th, right? So it, and then it begins to rise further north all the way up into the summer solstice. So there we go. So Saturn is trining Uranus right now. All of these are kind of auguries for what's available, our resources, inward and outward. And so discipline, Saturn, and Uranus, trickster, are in harmony. Good news for Aquarians. Those are your ruling planets. Any Aquarians here? Just for the fun of it. Oh, they're all, oh, a few people in the back. Aquarians, anthropologists from outer space. You're welcome now. And in fact, what Neptune also says to everybody, you know, imagine that the deepest, most soulful, most shamed, most hidden, most exiled part, but beautiful part of everyone is about to be completely welcome. You know, it's another sigh. It's like, whoa, we've made it to the right metaphoric atmosphere to address the actual climate. Going, whoa, there's that. But the unique and necessary medicine, you know, part of that also is, it is true, as wonderful Rachel Harris, a great psychology buddy who wrote a beautiful book called Listening to Ayahuasca, you know, said when I said that I was all up for everybody, you know, substituting for the word trauma, the phrase, my dangerous, beautiful assignment. And she was like, yes, but you want to grant everybody autonomy on their timing. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. But that does really work, which is, you know, trauma, 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 and we go, no, it's our dangerous, beautiful assignment. Whatever we've undergone is where redemption lies in brewing medicine for others. You know, and everybody's here. I mean, everybody went to the underworld and you're back, right? So that's the anonymous as well. Those who go to the underworld and make it back earn the right to be cultural trickster redeemers. Because Inanna and her best friend, because it's good to have a buddy, you know, they go to Enki, the god of wisdom who's become a tyrant, and being feminine heroes, right, within us all, again, Mars and Venus are within us all, regardless of gender, but being kind of Venusian heroes, they don't go grr, they get the tyrant drunk on beauty and poetry. You know, and as he gets drunk on beauty and poetry, he gives back human culture that he's stolen, right? And that's part of the dynamic. You know, again, what is the Mars and the Venus? You know, how is that, you know, how does that want to be beautifully wed? So Saturn trining Uranus, what I love to think of is that on Earth as it is in heaven, wolves and coyotes are mating. And wolves are, and I've lived with both of them, right? So they're very different people. But wolves, you know, they do play every 30 minutes, no matter what, even when they're hunting, even though they are hunted, just to keep, you know, well, for play, really. The wolves really have a very Saturn structured pack. Everybody's got a job. Coyotes, very Uranus, not so much. You know, wheel and deal, steal, ha ha ha, you know, disrupt the order. The evolutionary advantage of what's going on, scientists call them coy wolves, I call them wolfotes, is wouldn't we all like to have a supportive wolf pack, to have and contribute to a supportive wolf pack that encouraged our wild, mad coyote genius? We go, right, to have safe enough to take the interesting risks. And that's part of the dynamic. Tonight, you know, is such a beautiful night in micro and macro ways. There's three fire planets, three earth planets, three water planets. So it's kind of a volcano with steam. One air planetary being, which is the moon in Aquarius. So the one lighthearted thing is us here gathering, all right? So we go, all right, so but we do want that. So the coyote wolfote trickster spirituality, it's a wheel and deal spirituality, right? And I do love, you know, things I carry with me all the time, but we want to especially animate them. You know, a wonderful kind of trickster friend of mine disguised as a psychologist says, first, she says, what if the idea of matriarchy is a patriarchal concept? And it's like, well, that's fun. You know, And we throw, let's throw all archies into the cauldron, because the only archy we really want is malarkey archy, to ladle that out. So, but she also said, you know, the modern concept of worship is so silly. You are great, you know, wazza, wazza, wazza. I am nothing, give me this thing. And she said, in hunter-gatherer society and throughout the Mediterranean, there was great reverence and respect between the invisible mystery and the onstage incarnational reality. But she said, but it was a much more collaborative relationship, that the mysterious backstage spiritual world seeks incarnational invitation as much as we seek communion with it. We go, that's great. You know, and that's really what this time of year is about. Come on in. Come on in. And I love another ancestor now, you know, beloved radio pagan colleague, Margot Adler. She would sing this chant. I will just hum it, chant it, you know, but fur and feather and scale and skin, different without, but the same within. Many a body, but one of soul, from all creatures are the gods made whole. And we go, right, everybody, this to and fro. And I learned a lot about this. It's coyote spirituality, meaning I give you this, you give me that, no, how about this? Because with Stella Coyote, you know, she would steal things, although that was not her word for it. And, you know, like somebody would have carelessly left two leather gloves out. What were they thinking? You know, and weeks later, she would come back and drop one glove in front, clearly telepathing, what are you offering for the other one, right? And you go, how about some outdated pate? And really, she'd go, only one? You go, okay, here's two. Right. And then I'd give her two and she'd go and she'd bring the club back. You know, and so I like, you know, again, it's all, you know, the divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination. All orthodoxies, ortho means straight, doxies teaching. We like our teachings curvy very much. So it's really Liberty Hall according to whatever we feel intimate with. I like thinking of the divine, the spirit of wolf that animates the universe. It's like a large wolfote bowing down before each one of us going, woof, woof, wanna play? We go, yeah. You know, it's like a friend of mine says, you know, we would wish for everyone relationships that are dangerous in a good way. We go, ooh, yeah, a little bit of spice. We love that. But I was telling a friend about some pretty fabulous turn of events, some against all odds things, you know, and he's like, oh, miracles are trending. And I go, oh, can I use that? And he said, yes, hashtag miracles are trending. We go, we love that. And magic is afoot. You know, it reminds us that part of our skill set and part of this beautiful symbolic language is whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. And in everything, including, here's a miracle, on December 12th, the election in Alabama. So for a long time, people were going, well, I was going, and other people, you know, chiming in. December 12th is Virgin de Guadalupe Day, and it's Santa Lucia Day. It's the early solstice. It's the goddesses of light and illumination who are particularly interested in the autonomy of young girls and women on the Alabama election day. But Alabama was born December 14th, 1819, at 2:14 p.m. in Huntsville. And a woman on my Facebook page on the morning of December 12th said, I'm in Alabama, and I just voted. We're invoking, you know, we're invoking the Virgin de Guadalupe and all kinds of good things and, you know, all of that. And she had the chart of Alabama. And you go, well, maybe. It was Alabama's fourth, what's called Chiron return. Chiron's an actual little planetoid that makes a 51-year orbit. And it was back to where it was on the night of December 12th, 24 plus Pisces, which is a degree of cleaning out all corrupt priesthoods, right? And we go, well, that's good. And then I was going, well, let's look at Alabama. You know, its sun is at 22 Sagittarius, same as James Comey's. They're born the same day, different year. And the image for that degree of the zodiac is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. I go, well, all right, we speak to that part of James Comey, right? Okay, you can, you know, befoibled, we're all befoibled, but we speak to that part of you. But Alabama, who knew that it would stand up, you know, and that according to its birth chart, and it's going, I'm really just slough off things and the rise, and it was really also, it was black women and black men who delivered the state. We go, once again, you know, we're being saved by those who've been, you know, most dissed. We go, ooh. But that miracles are trending. We're all in a mystery play, you know, and so part of the Saturn to Neptune. Neptune is how a culture tells itself its own story through dreams, music, imagery, everything out there in group mind in the memosphere. So you can see Neptune moving through culture, you know, Neptune in Leo in the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, you know, in October of 1929, it goes into Virgo going, party's over. You know, and then it's now in its home realm of Pisces, you know, which happens every 165 years, which is the realm, well, the way I animate it, it's as though all the flora and fauna on this earth are meeting backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's try healing them first. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship, everything that has ever invited humans back into the choreography of creation, available. Every piece of music, every piece of art, every writing, every philosophy, every teaching, available for fresh, customized, according to everybody, expression, to waft on out there. We go, right. And again, metaphors are incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. It's the tangible power of blessing, which in all cultures that have traditions of blessing, it's a sensual thing. It's not have a nice day. It's when the ghost of loss stands behind you, then may the ancestors place a cloak around your shoulders that will mend your life. You know, and when your boat is sinking in rough water, then may the moon spin a silver pathway upon which you may safely tread to shore. Sensual. You can see it. You can feel it. So right now, one of our companions through 2018 is that Neptune Okay, quintile. Again, cooperators standing by. The images are eager to incarnate. All they want is an altar, a writing, a journal, you know, a paragraph of our, you know, our manifesto of dedicated devotion. Any of those things will be like, oh, we're in. And so some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer. And we go, the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint now. I loved in the book, listening to ayahuasca, Rachel Harris's book, really great. But she quotes a neuroscience study that says, when we speak to an invisible presence, it stimulates the same portion of our brain as though we were having tea with a friend. So I love that in our brains, it's a complete democracy between visible and invisible, on stage, backstage, real, imagined. They're all just as real. I go, oh, that's fabulous. And I crafted this phrase that I really like, entheo indigenous endogenous. Okay, and if you feel like it, you could say it with me. Entheo indigenous endogenous. There, that's very good. So entheo are the, you know, what that means, you know, entheogens, you know, the plant sacraments, and we take everything as, you know, again, is it a con or is it a liberating trick? And we might say whatever guides us to conscious kinship is a liberating good thing, and whatever, you know, plummets us into alienation as a toxin. And that's just a useful criterion about whatever we smoke or eat or drink or think or feel. You know, and we want to, you know, take our discernings with us. So, you know, entheo, the divine within, you know, and we have endogenous receptors for cannabis, for marijuana, and also for DMT. All mammals do. You know, and then we also say by analogy, we have, you know, beauty is endogenous. We are pattern tracking beings of the species. And even this beautiful metaphoric language of astrology, we have little endogenous receptors for each planet. So when we speak of it, it goes, oh, good, very good, oh, good, good, and said. You know, toxic mimics can block those receptors. Again, when we study things, I love a client friend of mine is a forensic psychiatrist. So her job is to go into horrific shootings and crime scenes, and to maintain kinship with the perpetrator, right? A tough gig. But, you know, Hawthorne says, let us not lose kinship even with the guiltiest among us. And our conversations are all about, you know, there is no merely private crime. It's all part of a collective dream. So when she's a crime scene where children have killed their mothers, you know, we go, we are killing our mother. It's as though there's an atmospheric, you know, and pressure comes down and erupts through thin membranes, which is why, without getting all spooked out, I think the metaphor of possession is useful. When I went to the Republican convention and stepped out on the last night, I was like, oh no, we're really sunk. You know, I sort of knew. I covered it up later, but I knew, like, oh my God, this is the toxic mimic, and I think Trump is possessed by a cunning demonic retrovirus. And you could see it in that moment that everybody kind of noticed, where his teeth almost came out of his mouth. He was like, mm-hmm. And I go, I think that was just the demon trying to leave, going, I've had enough. Even I've had enough of this nonsense. And he was like, no, yes, I want out. No, yes, I want out. You know, so we have compassion even for the demon that's been possessing Donald Trump. And so in the forensic psychiatry realm, you know, again, it's all part of a collective, and a wise culture would want to know why rather than just... So in almost all of the shootings, you know, there are a number of factors involved, the Las Vegas shooting and Mexico, a huge amount of screen time. You know, the Las Vegas shooter was spending, you know, 12 hours a day on video poker with Diet Coke, right? Aspartame, which is a neurotoxin. And who else do we know who has a lot of screen time and quite a lot of Diet Coke? Because it, you know, and it's like a wonderful brain scientist, Carl Prebrum. I went to him and said, I don't want science, you know, but I just know that video games, certain pharmaceuticals, aspartame, they dissolve the boundary between, you know, demonic interior fantasy and external. And he goes, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I was talking to, doing a reading for a wonderful woman out in Oakland who's, you know, working with kids, Mexican and Vietnamese kids, four to 6 years old. And she said she would ask their parents, you know, how much screen time are your kids spending? And they go, oh, 6 hours a day or so. Because it is a babysitter, right? But she said, we're going out into nature. We're going out into nature. And the more time they spent outside, a number of them had a lot of ADD and autistic symptoms. Those all started to melt. And she talked about video-induced psychosis, right? And it's dodgy. I mean, I watch the screens. I know we're supposed to turn everything off an hour before bed, you know. But by the power of our dedication, we can all be the better humans we want, you know, in reciprocal blessing. We go, right, right. And again, you know, the restoration of intimacy, the study done in Scandinavia about kids growing up without computers before the age of 8, perceived 500 colors in nature, and kids growing up with computers perceived 100, right? So a diminution of intimacy, you know, on a visual level. But we can extrapolate into audio. We want beautiful, complex rhythms, not just dum, 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 dum. You know, we want complex flavors, you know. Somebody calls Americans gustatory morons, salty or sweet, and we go, no, we want bitter and complex, because it allows for complex thinking and cultivating complexity. So part of this, you know, as we think of what to throw into the cauldron, there's another quintile, these pretty rare, you know, beautiful patterns. Mars in Scorpio, sizzly, okay. I love Scorpio friends of mine who say that the essence of Scorpio is, does my staring bother you? So Mars in Scorpio, it's on its way to conjoin Jupiter, you know, wealth and blessing on January 6th, which is 12th night. It's Epiphany when the astrologers arrive. That's pretty good. But Mars right now is quintile Pluto. Again, it knows how to navigate the underworld. And it is on King Arthur's birthday. King Arthur is born on the solstice. It's the birth of the Redeemer. And Hygon the Conqueror of the South, the wonderful trickster, Redeemer, hero. It's also said of him that he does not go away. It's said that King Arthur does not die. He goes to the underworld to go take Pilates classes with the priestesses in Avalon to await the world's call at a time of danger. And we go, now would be really good. You know, you're toned enough. You know, come back. And Hygon the Conqueror, you know, great trickster redeemer of the South, who, again, see, the trickster redeemer is willing to liberate the land, the people, and even the tyrant who has hardened their heart, not counting on it, but willing. So Mars quintiles Pluto on King Arthur's birthday, you know, and encourages us, you know, we go, let's toss Hyperyang Death Frenzy with its wimpy compensatory cruelty into the end of year cauldron. We'll do a major thing before we deconvene, but even now it's good to just like, a wimpy compensatory cruelty. Oh, there we go. That'll do. It's a little sizzle there. And ladle out, you know, what do we want to ladle out? You know, green man wizardry, you know, the equal dance partner for autonomous Venus. Venus is in the underworld. She also is trining Uranus, meaning true equality, true equality. When my friend said, about what if matriarchy is a patriarchal concept, she, a great scholar and a feminist in Malta, you know, when you go back far enough, no evidence of weapons or fortification, thousands of musical instruments, and beauty, and similarly in some excavation sites in Peru as well. So we love the equal dance partner. And so maybe we could have whatever you feel like, a jig for Mars and Venus to be dancing within and without in true equality. Excellent. Do we not all feel that Mars and Venus have gotten married within us? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. What a good thing. Again, complete beings all in our different assignments. That it's wonderful because Mars and, you know, the Mars and Venus cycles, you know, where it would be guiding, you know, the masculine, feminine within everybody. So, but Mars in Scorpio now is in its sizzly detective mode and its green man wizard mode. I like thinking of all of our spirit brothers as wizards. Wizards, you know, regardless, and speaking to the wizard within everybody, and I happen to have Robert Mueller's chart here, may he be protected, going, oh, wizard Mueller, oh, wizard Robert Mueller, you Leo, you know, up for celebration. And we go, all right, we're rooting again, done sketchy things, you know, was against whistleblowers, all kinds of stuff, all is forgiven at the moment, you know, we're backing you up. You do have medicine, and you are about to be welcome, and we, again, put a, you know, see, blessings also are, in, you know, molecularly real right now, too. May a circle of wolves protect him, you know, and whatever else we can come up with. You know, metaphors, again, are very useful, so there's Robert Mueller, we're wishing him well. But I did like the video analogy. It said, Robert, you wouldn't want to be tracked by Robert Mueller, and they said Paul Manafort was like the weak elk at the back of the herd, right? Take him down first. We go, that's kind of fun, right? So in this Mercury retrograde, you don't all have to have felt like I felt, and the last kind of wrapping up of Saturn and Sagittarius, which is the journey, even within our house. Some things always true, but there are times when they're more available, which is, yes, let me go get that thing. Oh, but on the way there, I noticed the fish tank needs cleaning. Let me do that. And then there, and I'm around again, and I'm looking for this thing, and I didn't find it, but I found these other things. So we go, not my schedule, but thine. And I did excavate things, you know, and found, you know, quirky little quotes that in the back of drawers and stuff, because, you know, we're all circling around, you know, what is our journey, and what have we been syncretizing, and how is each one of us a unique, you know, a unique medicine person from all that we've had an affinity with. And also, what do we want to throw into the cauldron? All small befoibelants as well. And, you know, for myself, I go, I want to throw over-promising into the cauldron. Going, there we go. So, because one of the things was the Shift Network, I work with them a lot doing online courses, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm somewhat allergic to the branding language, like, blah, you know, but once you get there, it's a global community, and it's really quite okay. But I had promised them, I go, oh, you want bonuses for people who've signed up for the class that's starting on January 30th on the positive intrigue lunar eclipse. You know, if you go to my website or and sign up for email, we'll let you know about everything, free things and not free things. But I'd said, a bonus. Oh, here's this essay I wrote in 1989 in a book called The Astrology of the Macrocosm. I was reading it going, God, this is really good. And also thinking, boy, it's lucky we don't know how long things take, because it was a tour from 1989 into 2050. And some of it was a little hopeful, but still quite pertinent. So, but it was one of those things that I said, oh, sure, I will scan it and then give everybody a copy. And then I will do a Zoom thing and co-rift myself and send this out. But it was a very Mercury thing, going, the scanner didn't work and neighbor scanner didn't work. And it was all eating time. And I'm like, oh, and then I'll go to Staples and get it done. Oh, no, I left the front page and the scanner at home. No, anyway. And around we go. It's like a Rube Goldberg. It's been like a Rube Goldberg kind of week, going, well, right, okay. But aspiring to, you know, guiding principles, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. And so it's like, all right, I'll read part of it tonight, just a little bit. And you can let me know how we're going too. But so what I wrote in and it is particularly resonant because I wrote it in 88 and it was published in 89, and some of it is pretty amazing. But it is a particular resonance, you know, now to 1988. As Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And then he also said, worry is not preparation. And we go, oh, right, worry. Non-useful worry. And he also said, I've experienced many terrible things in my life, most of which never came to pass. So, no, and he'd earned the right. I mean, he had a lot of terrible things happen in his life, but again, jauntiness emerging. So what I wrote jumping into the middle of the thing, I go, the more we collaborate with the future, the greater flexibility we have. The primary function of astrology is to discern the pattern of evolutionary intelligence and cooperate with it. So, again, remember, it's endogenous. You don't even need to know it. It's like, the trickster in us, the dedicated person, the leader, the artist, the musician, the dreamer. It's all in us, awaiting kind of, it's all endogenous in there, just awaiting the feeding. So we are called upon to experiment with time and our concepts of time. So let's talk to ourselves in the future. You know, we can reach back into the past for strength and inspiration from enlightened traditions, as is very apt right now, you know, and great mystery traditions, and had a fantastic, nutrient-rich, you know, journey to Egypt and with a wonderful friend in the spring. And that's something I will be feasting on, you know, for a long time. And there are after effects, too, without being indiscreet, wherever I go, you know, trickster, like, you're in a terrible marriage, you don't need to be in that marriage. And they're like, I've never heard such a thing. And now there are more autonomous women emerging in Egypt right now. And we go, excellent. You know, we are creatively disruptive. And that's also part of the dynamic of, with all these things, and even the things like, oh, like, Eris, the goddess of disruption, is an actual planet. Way out there. Yo, team. This is Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show, and we've been listening to a portion of my winter solstice presentation. For those who would like the entire recording, you can find it at coyotenetworknews.com, and we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team.